KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. I am Joan. With me is
Caleb.
And Jason will be arriving soon enough.
Yes, soon.
If you're unfamiliar with our show, we are a geek-centric talk show here on KSU Santa Clara. We talk about tech stuff.
Space!
That's right. Video games, movies, comic books.
Jason usually brings up 3D printing and DARPA. We try to talk about robots as well because it's in their name.
It's in the title. It kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're attacking or not.
Yes.
We try to mention some form of robotics of some kind. But yes, that is our show. And we love when the audience participates. Now, before you quickly grab your cell phone and like, okay, I got tons of stuff to say.
Please be responsible and don't do that while you're driving.
Yes, but don't call us.
That too. Because while it is technically possible for us to take your call, it isn't really easy for us to do so, unfortunately.
So how can they participate?
If you want to participate right now, the best ways, there's more than one for your ease of use, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or Twitter.com/robotsattackme. Both of those are active in the back of our screens. We monitor them during the show, and you can definitely hit us up there.
That's right. And those places have links to the stories we talk about in our news portion of the show, because usually a lot of our stories have cool pictures or videos, and those are a little difficult to see over the radio waves.
Yes, the radio waves are not very conducive for imagery in the processing of audio.
Yes. Now, your imagination is another thing.
You know,
you could obviously imagine really cool 3D printed space stuff or whatever.
But. Mm-hmm. But if you want to see what it actually looks like, it's best to hit the links either on facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Or if you're coming to this late, you can always go to robotsattack.me for the stuff there as well.
That's right. So, since we've got a packed show tonight,
yes,
we got a Caleb's Corner, we got our watch party, we've got the news. Anything exciting happened to you since last we spoke?
I went to go see The Martian.
Oh, how was it?
Fantastic.
Fantastic, okay.
I liked it a lot. Obviously, my love of my space being such
space.
A... Space being such a big topic that I like to cover. Obviously, The Martian was on my list of movies to watch. You might be wondering, if you like space so much, why did you wait till now just to see it? Because, you know, life and doesn't always, yeah. You know, make the connection. And but I thought it was really good. I actually haven't read the book yet.
That was going to be my question. Do you plan on reading the book?
I do plan on reading the book.
Okay.
From those that have done both movie and book, they are both excellent, just in slightly different ways. Like, you know, the book has you have more time to digest and work through it. They can spend more time being more quote unquote hard sci-fi.
Okay.
The movie does not skimp on hard sci-fi, but it definitely acknowledges that kind of like, it's very aware of the fact that it's a movie, not that they're breaking fourth wall or anything like that, but like the people that wrote it, that wrote the movie, like we're making a movie. So there are some things that, well, we could do this, it would not make a good movie. So they made a good movie that still contained all the essentials of the story of the book.
You have to take into account you're a visual medium. So what you're putting on the screen's got to be visually interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a book, like we mentioned, imagination, you can get away with certain stuff that, you know, maybe not the most exciting visual thing if you actually saw somebody, you know, doing stuff. Maybe, maybe not. Preference, obviously. But there's certain sort of things that, you know, when you watch them on the screen, you're kind of like, all right, do you really need this so much? Whereas in the book, you can get away with it. But
yeah,
so.
Like for internal monologue, like the person thinking. In books, you can do that almost to your heart's content. Movies, it gets real old real fast.
It's a style. It's a certain kind of style.
Yeah. But this one, I think, handled it pretty well because they actually had a pretty good conceit for why he would be, quote unquote, talking to himself.
Okay. Yeah, I'd heard stuff about he was, I don't want to say like cracking a lot of jokes, but like he was trying to keep the humor of the situation since the situation was so dire.
Yeah, and it's one of those like basically he got stuck. He's stranded on Mars for an extended period of time. Only person there. You're gonna have to figure out some way to keep yourself at least moderately sane, and you know the. No one's done this. No one's sure how this would work, but this seemed like a fairly good representation of what it might be like. So,
cool. See any good previews?
There was a bunch of previews. There was more previews than I can actually remember now. My wife turned to look at me. She's like, "There's a lot of previews," and I'm like, "Yeah." So, good previews. I'm gonna say there probably was, but
nothing stands out.
It's nothing really stood out. Let me put it that way. That was the biggest thing that I did.
Cool. Nice.
How about you? What'd you been up to?
As for myself, probably finally jumped into Rise of the Tomb Raider. Not
nice.
Super far into it, but you know, playing that, and yeah, it's awesome. If you love the Tomb Raider reboot, this is like more and
better.
Like all the good stuff, better, you know, just all the stuff you're like, oh, I kind of wish it did maybe this a little bit, or you get more of that. Like, yeah, there's just like a bunch of customization stuff for building things. And yeah, it's pretty sweet. Like, I'll give you a little example. Like you can make poison gas arrows.
Oh.
So like she uses them to get past this bear.
Mm-hmm.
But like you can use them on people and they create a cloud. So it's kind of like a area effect arrows in a sense.
Nice.
Because so like you can kind of throw a bottle, distract like a couple people, you know, to go over there maybe, or a group. Or if they're like a couple guys like just talking, or you can fire the poison gas at one of them and it'll explode and everyone that's caught into it
will
knock them out. So
that's pretty cool. Yeah. Tangenting, just a quick tangent around that, finally finished the reboot.
Oh, okay.
So, I actually now am ready to play Rise.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, totally stoked to play Rise. I just finished that. I'm like, that was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if you enjoyed
really
that.
Really good.
This is, the tombs are cool. Like, just all that, yeah. It's a lot of fun, so.
Excellent. I am looking forward to that. So yeah.
Cool. Now, since we have such a packed show.
Yes.
Like I mentioned, we got Caleb's Corner returning this week. And of course our watch party.
Yes.
And, you know, the news and everything else that we do.
Yes.
I think it would be good. Would you be ready to jump into Caleb's Corner?
Yes, I can jump into that.
Okay, let me just
cue up the
fun.
Yeah.
And now it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Yes, this is my fun little section of the show where I typically give you either a deep dive or interesting refresher on aspects of geek media that may have escaped you, being not heavily a geek for most of your life. Or if maybe you don't, or maybe you do know about it, but you're just kind of like tangentially about it. Anyway, the main thing is this Friday on Netflix is the release of the brand new show Jessica Jones.
What is Jessica Jones?
Jessica Jones is
Jessica Jones?
Who is, yes, correct. Jessica Jones is the second in the Marvel series on Netflix. It features Jessica Jones. But who is that? And what do you need to know? The character Jessica Jones got launched in a series known as Alias on Marvel Comics. This is not to be confused with the TV series of the same name in 2001.
At first, like, wait, what? J.J. Abrams Alias?
No, not J.J. Abrams Alias, but there was a certain amount of synergy between the two since it's kind of a, well, they both involved interesting female protagonist, so there's that. But Jessica Jones basic starts with the fact that she kind of goes back a fair ways into the Marvel Universe in terms of like the timeline they have created for her, I should say. Her powers were bestowed upon her during an accident with a convoy that was carrying radioactive chemicals. These chemicals gave her super strength, limited invulnerability, and the power of flight. However, they also took a toll. In the accident, she lost her family to the effects of said chemicals, and also the chemicals put her into a coma for a section of time until Galactus came to Earth and her powers woke her back up again.
Interesting.
Yes. After that, she was placed into the foster care system and was adopted by the Jones family, hence Jessica Jones.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Now to preference this, this is the kind of the comic origin.
This is the comic origin.
Like, wait, this is the show? Like, just
yeah.
We'll get to that later.
We'll get to that in just a moment, actually, because her history collides with the show pretty quick. So that's kind of her powers. Her basic origin and power set is super strength, limited invulnerability, and power of flight. How limited is the invulnerability? I think it's time limited, but I'm not positive about that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, she was inspired to take up heroism, superheroism, as after seeing a fight between Sandman and Spider-Man, and the seeing that inspired her, and it also helped kind of push her into realizing that she did have superhuman abilities.
Okay.
Her actual career as a cape, as some people like to call them, was relatively uneventful. Partly her first identity was she was called herself Jewel, and she operated mostly in Hell's Kitchen. As Jewel, she met Zebediah Kilgrave, aka the Purple Man. He will be important and more important in a sec. Now, the Purple Man's special abilities are mind control.
Okay.
And he used them to interweave his will with Jessica's to the point that she was losing track of what ideas were her own and what ideas came from the Purple Man. She was finally released from his mental prison, so to speak.
In the comic, was he literally purple or did he just wear a lot of purple? Oh, okay.
He was literally purple. But because of outstanding charisma scores and special abilities, he was also well-liked. By force of will.
It's very regal.
It's true. The Purple Man sent her to fight Daredevil because Kilgrave comes from the Daredevil line of heroes and villains.
Oh, okay. So you're starting to see a little bit of connection here.
And Kilgrave wanted to get rid of Daredevil. He interfered for the upteenth time and you're just sick of it. So he sent his mind altered Jessica Jones after him.
Enough with your daring, devil.
But in his anger, he gave her the wrong address effectively and sent her into the Avengers mansion. And at which point she attacked the first costumed character in red, who happened to be Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
So super strength versus not super strength equals kind of a potentially bad situation. Because it's the Avengers Mansion, the Iron Man and the Vision showed up to protect Scarlet Witch.
Okay.
And it was not a pretty sight for Jewel, who was saved by Carol Danvers, who the astute listeners might remember or know to be Captain Marvel, which I'm sure will, I don't know if they will include that or not, but it'd be cool if they did in the movie when that comes out eventually. Anyways, so after such, so Carol basically pulled her out of the fire, very badly beaten and not too happy about her lot in life. And then, put her, brought her into a SHIELD, facility where she received medical care as well as psychic care from Jean Grey.
Oh, okay.
After she recovered, Jones was dismayed to find out that nobody really noticed that she wasn't there as a hero. So she's kind of like, well, so much for that. And decided to take up heroing in her own way by taking kind of taking sort of a Batman-esque sort of persona that she called, what was her name again? Nightress. K-N-I-G-H-T-R-E-S-S.
Okay.
And,
not to be confused with the stuff you put in the cars that go fast and the Fast and the Furious and stuff.
It is not the nitrous. It was the nitros, but the nitress.
Okay.
After that, in the course of that, she got involved with, she was doing more street crime, street level crime stuff. And that brought her into close proximity of Luke Cage, where they eventually struck up a friendship.
Mm.
So you see, we're now
more connections.
All the little lines of Marvel's TV shows being brought together, at least Marvel's Netflix shows being brought together. And that essentially brings us up to the point where the show kind of picks up Jessica Jones' story, because at this point, she has decided to hang up the mask and the cape lifestyle and just be herself. But she still has a desire to help people, despite the fact that she's rather broken and jaded and not optimistic and heroic anymore. So, and she's trying to get away from being a superhero because it didn't work out so well for her the past few times.
Oh, okay. So, so whereas with the Daredevil TV show, that was kind of his like becoming Daredevil. She's already been kind of a hero for a bit in the shows. Okay.
And now she's like, that life didn't work out so well. And, then she, so she's now kind of the downtrodden, but still wants to help. So she opens up a private detective agency, which is kind of what the Alias comic was sort of about, was like her as private detective.
Okay.
And so now, and that's effectively where the TV show picks up.
Okay. Yeah. That'll be interesting. Instead of like where the Daredevil show, like I said, was kind of his story of him becoming Daredevil, instead of like, here's another like quote unquote origin story of someone becoming a hero. Like she's already been kind of doing that, so it's a nice little like twist to
it's sort of the opposite of him in a weird sort of way.
Yeah.
Oh, hey Jason, where'd
welcome Jason. All right, cool.
Yeah, so that's gonna kind of pick up. And the Purple Man, in the story where she is a private detective, he breasts out of prison and decides he wants to reclaim his sort of prized possession, which was Jewel, a.k.a. Jessica Jones. So conflict will ensue, I am sure.
Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's been an excellent Caleb's Corner. We like to do these sorts of things when new kind of things are coming out to kind of get people either refreshed or on board. You know, we did
like Guardians.
Ant-Man, you know, the stuff that's like Marvel's jumping into that, you know, maybe the rest of us don't really know a whole lot about. So.
Yeah, like Captain America, we all kind of know who he is.
Yeah,
Iron Man,
know.
You sort of got a feel for who he is. Jessica Jones, unless you've been reading Marvel Comics for the last, you know, 10 or so years, you probably have no idea who she is. And even if you had, you might still not know who she is. So there you go.
And why they may have decided to do a TV show about said character.
Yeah, it's funny. The only reason why I ended up doing a bunch of research on it was I got into the show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. And so when I heard that Kristen Ritter,
yes,
that she was going to be the new Jessica Jones, that's when I took a lot more interest in it.
Speaking of taking an interest, if you want to listen to KCU even when you're not in your radio, you can stream us whenever you want at kcu.org or on the TuneIn radio app or website, and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU. Those are our call letters and unique to us along the globe.
That's right. And if you have a suggestion for Caleb's Corner, say you know of something that's coming out pretty soon, you're like, hey, you know, I'd maybe like a refresher on that, or, you know, some interest, you know, the history behind this group or this character or something like that. It doesn't have to be regulated to comics. It doesn't. That kind of seems like what most of them have been, since that's kind of the big movies, you know, where Marvel is drawing from, Marvel comics.
Yeah.
You know.
Movies. And also they started pulling in some pretty obscure ones like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, I almost didn't even know who they were before the movie came out. So,
yeah. So, you know, if anything sort of big in the geek culture is coming out and you're like, you know what, I would love a Caleb's Corner on that. Let us know. And of course, Caleb, how can they do that?
If you would like to be in touch with us, you can go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow or twitter.com/robotsattackme. And if you're getting to this late, you can go to robotsattack.me. That's the period, not the phrase dot. all of the Twitter and Facebook are happening right now.
Right now.
Add the dot, add robotsattack.me is when you need to get to it in the future.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a music break, and then we'll come back with our watch party of Dirty Pair episodes 12, 13, 14?
Correct.
Right? All right. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are now going to discuss the next three episodes of Dirty Pair on our watch party.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So let us start with episode 12.
Mm-hmm. Which is The Little Dictator, The Curse of the Touchy Secret, or as the other one is, let sleeping secrets sleep, or something like that. Again,
so many crazy titles.
Titles that lead to much translation consternation.
I will say these three episodes I enjoyed way more than the previous three episodes.
I think these three may have been some of the best they've done so far.
Yeah, I was enjoying these much more. It's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's start with episode 12 about the two mice secure.
Yes, the ultimate security system.
Mice.
Right.
Hyper-intelligent mice.
Yeah, two of them.
Two of them, yes.
It did make me wonder if it was trying to be a reference to the entire number 42 and all of that stuff or not. Which came first?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I'd have to go check the timeline for that,
it standing on its own was actually pretty glorious. It was a wonderful episode.
Yeah.
I'd
like seeing the mice like shooting the guns at them while they were running through.
Okay. Should we walk through the plot at all, or should we just...
Let's just talk about the episode. Okay. We don't... The idea is they're watching it with us, so if they don't know the plot, then they need to go back and watch it with us. That's the
exactly.
Watch party.
All right.
It's available free online, so you can check it out. One of the things that I thought was actually rather interesting about this one is these episodes is that this one and especially I think one of the later ones, like Kay actually is shown as being more clever than she typically is in these episodes in the show, I should say, which I thought was kind of refreshing. Like, not that she's like dumb, but like there's a certain amount like
I like these ones too is it's almost like I prefer when they're kind of the back burner of the story and like they don't dwell on their really, to me, very stupid and annoying, like bickering fights. I like when they have little elements of that like throughout the episode, but not when it's like
the only
5 minutes of just them like talking really stupidly and just like really like, oh God, okay, teenage girl talk, like, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. I like it when they're just like, boom, the action, boom, they have their little traits to them, mm-hmm. but it's them like focusing on the mission and actually like performing the mission.
Yes.
So it's like, it makes sense like why these two would work for this organization still, mm-hmm. even though they are considered the dirty pair. Like, you'd think another group with the much damage as they do would probably be fired, but mm-hmm. these episodes and, you know, a few of the others show why they're still like the top part agents. Of this group.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. they can still do a really good job. There's a lot of collateral damage, but you know, so it's nice seeing those episodes like, mm-hmm. like this one, like where they were specifically hired,
yes.
for this because they wanted to test like the damage. They wanted to stress this uh-huh. system. So mm-hmm. it was nice. Like, this one still, you know, like it had the little things here and there, but yeah, that, I think that's, I need to go back. I need to check like the writers and see if they're like the same ones of the episodes that I've liked and like,
okay.
see,
yeah,
you know, go through and be like, oh, that's the one that I did not like at all. Oh crap. It's an episode from that person. Let's see if it follows the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, just to see if there's any difference. But
mm-hmm. this episode seemed to introduce two new, like, permanent reoccurring characters too.
Besides, yeah, the
at least,
chief.
Yeah, at least right. one the, mm-hmm. that like head of the,
the, mm-hmm. like the, effectively the
like
Q,
the scientist right. creator guy mm-hmm. who created the security system, yeah, who'll see him pop into the next episode when we get to that.
Mm-hmm.
And a random chef, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. A very
cultural stereotypes abound, yeah, again,
pretty bad there, but yeah. you know, we have to remember this was,
and also Japan,
30
and,
years ago.
Yeah, and Japan and China have always had sort of strained yeah. cultural relations, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
And but, tangent, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the original radio play was out in 1978.
Okay.
So
okay.
it does predate this. So there might be a little bit of that.
Just a little nod to it or something mm-hmm. like that.
It made sense. That's not that many years yeah. different, mm-hmm. so would still be kind of in the mindset of quote-unquote pop culture then
mm-hmm.
at that time. But yeah, this one to me, like, just balanced like a silly premise, but like mm-hmm. still made it fun, and still like I wasn't rolling my eyes like constantly.
And it right. took itself just seriously enough.
Yeah.
That it made it.
Yeah, you're
credible,
like,
sort of.
Really? This place is like, all these people, they're freaked out about like just a bunch of mice and the rats, but then they kind of show them, and they're like, some of them are firing guns, and they show them like being an effective way, and it's like,
right.
Yeah, you know, that would be pretty bad. And it
when
was,
you have the when you have the weight of numbers, it makes yeah. even very small things actually rather terrifying.
It instant, when they had that hallway scene where they're charging through the hallway and gunfire's like blasting all over the yeah. place, it reminded me of trying to use orcs in Warhammer 40K. It's like, you know, they're not going to hit anything, but you have enough of them firing guns, something's probably going to drop.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, they were going up against effectively two assassins.
But. Yeah, yeah, but you know, like Caleb mentioned, the numbers, but
right.
Yeah, and I like too the little twist of Mugen,
Moogie,
like being afraid of uh-huh. this giant cat. It's like,
yeah,
like, oh, even genetic engineering didn't
right, yeah,
help.
Yeah,
this situation.
Yeah, there's no telling how genetic engineering is going to read or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they knocked out the robot like down the stairs.
Yes. Honestly, I felt sorry for the robot. Like, oh, they just like knocked him down the stairs. That's like so mean.
Yeah.
Of course, the robot comes back and saves the day. So.
Oh, yeah. Came back with a vengeance.
That was
yeah. You not knocked me down perfect. The stairs.
Yeah.
Little gleam yep. flashes across its little
mm-hmm.
eye-ish thing.
Namo came back with a vengeance.
Right.
Yeah.
In his pink high tops.
Mm-hmm.
Can't forget those pink high tops.
Right.
Exactly.
And, you know, speaking of mice
mm-hmm.
and cats.
Because mm-hmm, there was a lot of cats in that and for those shots.
Yeah, yeah, I forgot. Yeah,
piles and piles
they,
of
where
cats.
Where they go, their first idea is just to bring a whole bunch of cats. And I was yes. Oh, that's awesome.
That's brilliant. My favorite is like they go up in the elevator and just piles of cats around them, like up to their chest and cats. And then they open the door, they spills out, and there's still cats coming. Like, oh
yeah, there's
gosh.
Still more. And then, oh, all the cats run away. There's like there's too many mice. But speaking of those animals, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? You can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets in our local shelter. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. So
it makes me wonder if they have a new, like, adopt mouse program.
I don't know.
Rescue a mouse from the wild.
I guess you
give a mouse
know.
A cookie, you know? But, yeah, that was this episode was kind of a lot of fun. Plus, like, the all the characters seem to play off of each other pretty well. And also, I kind of liked it. This one also expands sort of what the 3WM is about too, or 3WA, because it's not just the kind of investigative side, which is kind of where the dirty pair, the lovely angels reside. They also have like the research and development division as well, which is like where this story kind of takes place. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
it's kind of interesting to see like they're like. We're finally getting to the point where they're starting to like expand what this where this plot where these characters can go, and I think that's another reason why these were better than some of the other ones, because like there's actually things to explore now. There's things to investigate, like cerebrally.
And speaking of exploring and investigating, that leads in perfectly to the next episode, which is mm-hmm. essentially like they kind of get hired to go explore the sewer system.
Yes.
And it kind of goes back to sprinkling in a little bit of the, like, oh, these are the same two that destroyed this building. Like, ah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're still fixing this building from when you guys were last here.
Yeah.
Why did they bring you
here? And this one, I think, played up to, like, what you were saying about Kay. Like, mm-hmm. you know, her coming up with that weapon and kind of coming up with some ideas, like
Because like one of the things they brought up is that she, you know, after the, like the initial encounter with the creature in the sewers, like
what's the name of this episode?
Oh, the name of this episode is "What's This? Our Fair Skin Is Getting Slimy," because they're down in the sewers and they mean
no weird near the name that I read.
The creature that they're fighting is a sea slug.
Yeah.
Or a slug of some sort.
Some sort of space slug thing.
Space slug thing.
It looks like a sea slug.
Mm-hmm. Could have been. But yeah, like after their first encounter and like they're back in their apartment, like kind of cleaning up, or at least Yuri cleans up and Kay's like working on something and she's like, and she like shows it to Yuri. She's like, "Oh, you made a flamethrower?" She's like, "Nah, this is a like." She actually describes like a different style of heat weapon.
Yeah.
So that actually, it's not just flame. It's actually like creating like a chemical reaction that creates heat on the surface of the thing. Like, oh my gosh, that's one of the smartest things that she's ever said. Uh-huh. This is so cool. And I'm just like, that gun's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is nice that they sort of set her up as her own Q in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it kind of like shows that like they are clever. They aren't just like, oh, there's the thing. Shoot it till it stops being the thing.
Yeah.
Well, and it gives a lot more implications for like the past episodes too. It mm-hmm. makes you maybe think that like that little rocket ship that sprouts out of the bigger ship,
mm-hmm.
that might have been Kay's invention from the start.
Mm. Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one. Plus, like they actually came up with a reasonably clever plan for like getting rid of the creature in this one, which I thought was kind of a unique spin as well. I'm like, wow, it was like competence all the way down. It's only until the last 30 seconds of the episode, they finally got around to, oh yeah, they need to do something silly. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because they didn't even know about the giant thing at first. They were mm-hmm. thought it was all the mollusks or whatever yeah. were the problem. So mm-hmm. their idea for that was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they find out, oh, that was that thing's like food source. So now it doesn't have any food. So it's going to start like coming out and attacking stuff. And mm-hmm. I like their little like, okay, who's going to be the bait?
Yeah.
You're going to use Mewki as the bait? Oh, that's low. And there's like, would you
do it instead?
Yeah.
Like, oh. Yeah. Wait.
Wait. Yeah. Wait. No. That's Rochambeau.
Yes. That was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just weird. It's like, I basically like when the episodes where it treats them like not as like complete idiots or like still, you still get the taste of their kind of immaturity, mm-hmm. but it's not just so like overblown. It's like,
yeah,
I hate those episodes when it's like too much of that. I'm just like, oh, when will this end?
Yeah. Some of them, they lay it on pretty thick for some yeah. of those.
So that's what was nice about these. It was like just a little taste where it kind of made sense and was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But
it reminded you that yes, they are still very young, but at the same time, like these ones were highlighting that yeah. they are a capable team.
Yeah, it's like they're young, but they're like makes sense why they would still be hired to be a part of this organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still want so bad to have like a sort of background episode for each of them. They find out what created the set of skills for both of them.
Yeah, how do you find a 19-year-old that knows enough about chemical reactions to create a heat weapon that isn't just flame? It's like, huh.
I'm not sure it's that sort of show. I'm not sure I'm ever going to get that.
You're not going to, probably. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. It would be, they might have done that in one of the
spin-offs or something.
There's the sequel, quote-unquote, spin-off, which is Dirty Pair Flash, and then there was the
OVA.
OVA, mm-hmm. which stands for Original Version Animation, for those who are unfamiliar. And those are usually like OVAs are kind of like mini-series, and then there's TV series, and then, you know,
yeah.
the sequel series.
Isn't that kind of often they'll use the OVA to kind of pitch, mm-hmm. like, hey, we could maybe do a whole series of this.
I'm
like,
yeah.
Oh, but yeah, a lot of people seem to like this. Okay, let's turn it into a series where it's like, this didn't do so well. Maybe we won't invest in a
mm-hmm.
12 or you know, 24 episode
series. Exactly.
So any thoughts on this episode, Jason? Or shall we move on to the last episode?
Nah, I don't really have anything to add to it.
Okay.
Then it brings us to episode 14, The Vault, or The Election. The convention hides the killer.
Yeah, I thought this one was interesting in the sense of just kind of the subject matter of mm-hmm. like it was a vault that held like all the criminals' information, so
mm-hmm.
that would be valuable.
Yeah,
to steal, like if or you know,
or to break into
and have sort of thing. Like, it doesn't really seem like something, at least nothing that's coming to mind that is generally focused on. It's usually like, oh, we're going to break in and steal some powerful weapon, or oh, we're going to break in and steal money.
But yeah.
It was like, we're going to break in and steal information.
Yeah. I mean, that effectively is the currency of the future. If we're all, Mr. Edward Snowden kind of showed, like, it's the information that everybody really wants. And so I was like, huh. And
yeah, I was kind of surprised that this episode didn't use a previous character, or did I miss something? Mm-hmm. Did they use a previous character?
No,
there's
the cook, but other than that,
just seems like the main person that they're trying to chase down. They've encountered enough people at this point that are like that still ran off like free. That I felt like they should have had some sort of nod back to that character or one of those characters.
This person running for office turned out to be this character from previous episode or something. Or,
yeah, or even
is that what you meant? Or
well, no, the actual one who's trying to steal the information.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
It's like I was half expecting that guy to turn out to be the super pretty dude from
since he posed as
the pirate leader,
head
pirate guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just assumed it was until like they kept having scenes with him and nobody was showing any like
recognition,
little bit of recognition at all. So.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been a cool twist.
Mm-hmm. Still, the basic plot of that one was actually pretty interesting. Like someone actually like thought that plot through relatively well. Like the basics is there's a it's sort of the locked room scenario where all the essentials are locked in a super protected space that can't be busted into, but you know, because the lovely angels are who they are, they have the skills to actually test the system and stuff like that. So it's kind of almost a callback to the little dictator number 12.
Mm. Well, because this one has that scientist guy pop in, right?
Yeah,
right back.
Yeah, yeah, that was the other reoccurring character. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. In this one, like Kay actually like figures out like the twist and the storyline like pretty early, and that's why she actually gets herself in trouble, which I thought was actually kind of like detective work on her side, and then like Yuri has to then do kind of like strategy on her side to figure out how does she save Kay and still do all this,
and then make that bet, like, okay, do you think they're going after the politician person, or do you think they're going after the vault?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plus, I was vastly amused by the fact that it was Pandora's vault. I'm like, so they're vault hunters?
There you go.
One thing I will say, it's kind of bizarre, is like, they're always... It makes sense on the parts where, like, I guess, you know, they're not getting paid like their overtime, and then they sort of explain in certain ones, it was like, oh yeah, you know, it's to cover costs for this, you know, for the damage that you've done, this and that. But there's other parts where it's like they're always complaining about like working and like demanding like a vacation. It's just like, well, it was just weird. Like, well, okay, if this is your job, like, obviously, you know, I'm for workers' rights and everything like that. It's like, you should have a vacation and things like that. But it's like they're almost demanding, like, we're only going to do our job until you like triple our pay and give us a vacation. Like, what? Like, huh?
It is effectively hazard pay for them, but still, it's like
it's just weird. It's just like, pull your.
It just makes it. Like, maybe if you had a peek behind the curtain, maybe it ends up more like they feel like they're winning by saying something like that. But the people in control of the paychecks basically know that it's all going to go back to whatever they destroyed anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll pay you like triple, maybe quadruple this time.
Sure, why not?
Right.
Because we'll recoup it all in the time that you're not doing this stuff, because you're not blowing things up and we can actually make money again.
Right, because we swear you blow up more stuff every single time.
Yeah.
But they still have yet to outdo blowing up a whole entire planet.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
they still haven't gone sort of back to that at all. Like, that would be funny. Like, the very last episode is sort of like the last episode of Seinfeld.
Mm. Yeah.
All the recurring things return. And...
Yeah,
right.
I'm from that planet that you blew up.
Wait, we're supposed to go to jail for all that? What are you talking about? There's a new law.
Yeah. We were just doing our job.
Right.
We're too pretty for jail.
Yeah. All right, well, if there's nothing else, I think that'll wrap up this week's watch party.
Yeah, I think
so. Of course, it's not too late to participate. Let us know what you thought of the episodes. And if you haven't watched them yet, you know, it's still not too late to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb, how can they participate and do all of that fun stuff?
Yeah, if you want to be involved, you want to give us your thoughts, you can go to twitter.com/robotsattackme or facebook.com/robotsattackshow. You leave comments there, at reply us, like our page even on Facebook. If you think we're doing a good job, you know, like us, keep up with what we talk about. It'll be fed to you if you like us.
That's right.
and nice follow and us. It's great that
it's
way.
It's all the synergy. All right. That will do it for Watch Party. We'll take another music break here on KCU Santa Clara, and then we will come back with some new releases and the news. All right. We'll be back with more.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at @RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are now going to go into the new releases. Here's some movies coming to the theater this week. We've got The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, with the Nation of Pan Am in a full-scale war. Katniss confronts President Snow in the final showdown. Team with a group of her closest friends, including Gale, Finnick, and PETA. Katniss goes off on a mission with the unit from District 13 as they risk their lives to liberate the citizens of Pan Am and stage an assassination attempt on President Snow, who has become increasingly obsessed with destroying her. We also have The Night Before. Ethan and Chris have been friends since childhood, and for a decade, their yearly Christmas Eve reunion has been an annual night of debauchery and hilarity. Now that they're entering adulthood, the tradition is coming to an end, and to make it as memorable as possible, they set out to find the Nutcracker Ball, the holy grail of Christmas parties. And finally, we have Secret in Their Eyes, a tight-knit team of rising FBI investigators, Ray and Jess, along with their district attorney, Supervisor Claire, are suddenly torn apart when they discover that Jess's teenage daughter has been brutally and is inexplicably murdered. Now, 13 years later, after obsessively searching every day for the elusive killer, Ray finally uncovers a new lead that he's certain can permanently resolve the case, nail the vicious victim, and bring long-desired closure to his team.
Dang. I didn't realize that was coming out already.
All right. Now, if you prefer your films on the smaller, because they're pretty big these days, screen, or on a silver disc of some sort, you might consider these, like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. It's remaking of the 1960s TV series by Guy Ritchie, featuring Harry Cavill, who's Man of Steel, and Armie Hammer from Lone Ranger. And it's an interesting take on sort of Cold War sensibilities. And from what I hear, the chemistry between Harry Cavill and Armie Hammer was actually pretty good.
Mm. Has anyone here seen it?
I never got around to seeing it, but I heard it was okay. I heard it was pretty good. Okay. Then there is a movie about the Stanford Prison Experiment, which was by this. The movie has the same title, and it's about the rather famous / infamous experiment that the psychology professor at Stanford initiated, where groups of students were set as both guards and prisoners.
Oh, okay.
And it went sideways pretty quickly. So it's an interesting look into the psychology of who haves and have nots and how we respond to that.
Gotcha.
There's also The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. The conclusion of the Hobbit trilogy, which is one movie too many in my opinion, but that's a different issue.
Was this like an extended edition or?
Yes, extended edition release.
Okay, I was like, this has been out for a little while already.
Yeah, this one's the extended edition. Okay. Then there's another movie on Blu-ray and DVD called Jimmy's Hall, which is about a gent who creates a dance hall in Ireland in the early 1920s. Bringing about trying to kind of unify the groups of people, because it's on the verge of the civil war between church and the different factions of the church and politics.
Gotcha.
And then we'll round it out with a movie called Trash, which is about three boys that find a wallet in the slums of Rio, and they, with a couple help of some American missionaries, they go on an adventure trying to find the origin of the wallet.
Man, American missionary is always the center of a new adventure wherever Perhaps. They are. Okay, first we have a PSA. The D. Saisset Museum in Santa Clara University is celebrating 60 years on November the 18th from 11 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Wow.
Come celebrate this milestone with treats like cake pops and refreshments. For more information, visit www.scu.edu/dsaisset, all one word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't type in all one word, but the D. Yeah. do that.
You know what you
okay.
mean.
Okay. Meanwhile, in video games, we have... Okay, if you were not happy that Mario is not doing enough stuff, you can maybe be slightly more happy because okay. Mario is doing up the tennis. Mario
Again?
Is doing tennis nice. With Ultra Smash coming out on the 20th, strictly to the Wii U, exclusive.
Oh,
bang.
Makes sense, makes sense.
Wii U mm-hmm. exclusive. Okay, next up, we have very, very not exclusive game because it's on absolutely everything, but it's Game of Thrones Episode 6. I believe this is the final installment.
Correct.
This is titled The Ice Dragon Released. It's coming out on the 17th to PC, Xbox 360, PS3, Mac, PS4, Xbox One, iOS, and Android. And last but certainly not least, we have Star Wars Battlefront coming on the 17th as well, coming to both of the current gen and PC entertainment systems. yeah, if you haven't heard anything about this or gotten into the beta or anything like that, you need to at least check it out because there's a whole lot of beautiful going on in this game.
Mm.
Let's see. Finally, we have a re-release of a game that came out, I believe, a couple years ago, but it's gotten the next-gen treatment, and that's Deadpool. Doesn't sound like it's getting like incredible reviews just because it didn't get any extras or whatnot.
Mm.
But if you love the Deadpool, it's got all the Deadpool. Now in even more HD.
Interesting time to do it now. I wonder why they didn't wait till maybe January or something for the movie's in February, I think. So.
I think they're hoping to get in on the Christmas time, but who knows?
All right. That moves us on over to comics. And
anything with Deadpool?
Not this week.
Oh, it's a dead zone for Deadpool.
No!
This is very clever.
So, we'll kick it off with some hilarity with Harley Quinn number 22. The enemy of Harley Quinn's friend is her enemy, and her enemies don't come much meaner than Cyborgman, former lover and geriatric super spy, Xena... Bendham, I'm not going to say that one out loud. Improbably enough, she survived getting impaled by a rhino, but she's not going to take that massive attack very well.
For a second, I thought you were going to say, when you were saying Sag, you thought you were going to say Sideshow Bob. I was like, what?
I have a life apart from you, Bart.
wait just a second. What was the Psy name again? What?
Psy. Borgman.
That's what I thought you said. Okay.
Just let it sink in.
Pretty awesome name.
Mm-hmm.
My name's Cy. Cy Borgman.
Borgman. I am the man of Borg, Borg of Man. and things that are not quite so ridiculous is the mighty Thor, number one.
Thor Borgman. That's right, I'm a Thorborg.
In this one, we actually get some insight into who I don't want to say Lady Thor because that's because she's Thor.
She's Thor.
Right.
Thor, but the female version.
The new
Thor. The new Thor.
We'll say new Thor, maybe.
We find out who she...
Thor point two.
Yeah, this one actually has... We find out who she actually is. Who is it that lifted the hammer? The mystery is crystallized. And about to go take the battle of the Ten Realms to all of their enemies because she is the mighty Thor.
All Ten Realms.
Yes. Yeah. Then our fine friends over at Dark Horse have brought us yet another Buffy the Vampire Slayer series. Is season
Slazer.
10, number 21, Demon Invasion are becoming a worldwide threat, and Buffy is tasked with convincing the vampire community that they should really do something about this, or at least help. But to win them over, Buffy and Spike are going to have to do a lot to bring some harmony between humanity and vampires. And over at Image, it's Huck, number one. Written by Mark Millar, so it should be interesting. Hmm. In a quiet seaside town, Huck uses his special gifts to do good each day. His neighbors in return the favors by keeping his abilities a secret. But when a newcomer alerts the media, a firestorm erupts, sending Huck on an adventure that will change everything.
Whoa.
So there you go. That's going to wrap up our comic choices.
Fair enough.
Nice. For this week. I couldn't really find any music, so passing on music this week.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. But speaking of music, we're going to take a music break and then come back with the news.
Sweet.
Let's tease them some news. Keep them on the edge of their seat.
Seat. Yes. How about this jetpacks? I'm going to leave that right there.
Oh.
Jetpacks.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, spider clothes.
Oh.
Whoa.
Take that, jetpacks.
Oh.
Wow. What? Spider.
It's a fight.
Slings
thing
out of hide.
It's on.
We don't even have tails.
Well, we'll find
spider
out.
Spider clothes will cut you.
Oh. Well,
no,
we'll
they won't. They won't.
Okay.
They won't.
Well, no, we don't know. You have to find out. Don't tell them.
Stick around. Yeah.
They might cut you.
But yeah. See, you'll find out when we come back. And of course, since we're leading into the news, it's a great way to participate on the show.
Go to facebook.com/robotsattackshow. Or twitter.com/robotsattackme. Comment there. You will find the links as we talk about them or as soon as we can get them up there. And let us know what you think or things that you want us to talk about.
All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack after the music break.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want to KSU.org or on the TuneIn Radio app or website and never be without the underground sound. And of course, our pro tip.
Find us faster by searching for KSCU. That is unique to us on the globe. And for those of us, for those of you who are trying to listen on the streaming app, we understand there are some troubles. We will let people know.
All righty.
News.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara. We are in the news. Let's news them.
You want to start?
It's
ooh,
funny.
Well, it's the battle.
Like, yeah, that's true. Should we Rochambeau it or something?
Go for it.
Okay. Basically, it's always been a dream of mine to wear like a coat actually made of spiders, just so I can like actually summon them and move them forth onto my enemies and so on. But
wait, made of actual
spiders, yeah. But that's just me. That's not something that they actually have right now. So the closest thing.
So you can't be Neji.
No, I can't be Neji quite yet. Even though that's more like, I think his is more like fleas in a weird sort of way, or beetles. Anyway, but yeah. So instead, I'll have to probably settle for this. And this is still pretty cool because it's effectively made of spider silk. So North Face is starting a new line, and to start off the line, they're doing a parka that is a moon-style parka that ends up looking like a very classic moon suit from like in the 60s or whatnot. Kind of like if you've seen the first of the new Star Trek movies when Spock shows up in like the gray winter suit,
mm-hmm.
sort of that same shape of the head, except it doesn't split like Pac-Man.
Okay.
Anyway, too much description going into this. Basically, it is a spider silks parka, which of course, everybody who knows anything about spider silk is probably like flipping out, like, whoa, spider silk, that's like super cost prohibitive because milking spiders is difficult.
Yeah.
But it's still really cool because it has amazing capabilities, like being somewhere along the line of Kevlar because it's stronger than steel and super light because it's lighter than nylon, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Super powered material, basically. So, yeah, for years, everybody has been trying to figure out how to make it a cost effective thing. And a Japanese company called Spiber, that's actually how it's spelled, S P I B E R.
Spiber.
They're technically a biomaterial company, and they went at creating spider silk in kind of an interesting way. They figured out what the actual protein was and tried to figure out how to
produce it.
How to make bacteria spit it out.
That's a step up from the goats that have been used for this sort of stuff so
far. Goats milking spiders?
Yeah,
it's goats milk with spider proteins in it, from which they can extract spider silk.
Yeah,
but goats milking spiders is really hilarious.
If you've ever seen that, but
goat simulator gone horribly wrong.
spider goat. So yeah, if you've seen that. In my view, this is nowhere near as creepy as, like, milking a spider or milking a goat and have spider silk come out, which, if you've seen the footage, it's fairly creepy. Anyway, so the resulting material that is spat forth from this bacteria soup or bacterial soup is, of course, trying to mimic the material that they call fibroin, which is what spider silk's technical name is, I guess. Mm. But their name for it, because it's not quite the same, but it shares almost all the same characteristics, is cumanose, which is apparently an Americanization of, or Englishization, I guess.
Anglicization?
Yes, that. Of the word for spider web in Japanese, which is kumanosu. Okay, so basically what it comes down to is you can get yourself a parka that looks like a moon suit that is effectively made by bacterial spiders.
Huh. Using the single most, one of the most advanced materials known to man, spider silk.
Right.
Very cool. All right, that is pretty cool. So, like I said,
so earlier, yeah, beat that.
Okay.
All right.
So jetpacks.
And we answered the question. It didn't cut things, right?
No.
There's no cutting involved. Cutting.
Unless you're cutting the fabric to make the suit,
which I'd assume is difficult because I have extensive background in cutting Kevlar, and that is not easy.
So, jetpacks. We know that they sort of exist, but what? None of them are quite like the Rocketeer, unfortunately.
No.
However, they are still really, really cool. And while you may not know
In theory, if one actually existed.
Well, good to know there's actually two.
What, two?
Oh.
At least.
At least.
Oh, I just got burned.
Recently.
Set myself up for that one.
Yves Jetman Rossi, whose name may not ring a bell, but.
Nope.
If you look him up, he's done several of these stunts using a self-made jetpack. I mean, he's got a background in, I think, aerodynamics and engineering, and he has smart people working for him. So, but he's a Swiss daredevil who, with his co-jetman Vince Reffet, R-E-F-F-E-T. I apologize for butchering your name. Recently, flew. With an A380, which is Airbus's latest super-sized passenger plane.
Boo, it's not Boeing. American pride.
The trio,
go Seattle.
The trio recently flew over Dubai. And the Emirates plane flew over the city, and this huge jetpacks kept up with a commercial airliner at about 4,000 feet above the city.
Huh.
And there is an amazing 4K video of it. Not that you can see 4K on your computers, but it's a really nice looking video of these guys flying impressively close to an impressively large plane over an impressive city. So you get a lot of impress as you go through it.
Just strapped two laptop computers to the new Google stereo optic cardboard
there you go.
Contraption.
Mm-hmm.
You got your 4K.
Instant 4K. 3D 4K.
That video, I assume there's a link to it the story?
Yes, there's a link to the video in the story, and it's pretty impressive, watching these guys do their thing.
The jetpack is pretty cool. I think it's more of a wing with engines, personally. So I think it's kind of cheating.
Yeah, a jetpack as designed by the Rocketeer and various other comic books would be would be completely erratic. You would not be able to fly that thing.
That's just because they haven't figured out how to do it right yet.
Well, this is a possibility. We are still currently confined by the laws of physics in the moment until we come up with that extra bit that we can bend to our will.
Because shoving a human being through space is not super easy.
Yeah. It's still hard to do that, which is why we invented airplanes.
Right. I will say it is impressive, though, just from the standpoint. Those little rocket engines, they're not even rocket engines. They're actual, jet engines.
Mm-hmm.
They're, the size of coffee cans.
Yeah, they're very small, but produce a lot of thrust.
Right, but they can keep up with airliners just with these little coffee cans.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Does it run on the negativity of the internet?
Oh,
if
we
did,
could tap
it would outpass. It would blow right past
that
plane.
Right,
it's got a governor on it.
It would have ripped that plane to shreds just by.
If it ran on cats on the internet, it would go light speed.
Man, if you could harness the power like the yin and the yang of cats and negativity on the internet.
Cool fusion.
Yep. There you go.
Oh, all the world's power needs solved forever. Maybe the universes.
Well, my next story won't solve the world's power needs, but if you're a fan of Bad Santa, you might like this.
Yeah.
Although the original Bad Santa came out more than 10 years ago, that hasn't stopped fans from campaigning for a sequel. Now it looks like they may get their wish as star Billy Bob Thornton will reprise his role for Bad Santa 2 just in time,
mm-hmm.
for the holidays.
Christmas, yeah.
Or as we like to call him, the Thortmeister.
Do we?
I did not know that.
News, Robots Attack, audience members.
We always do that.
Miramax
Tuesday.
and Broad Green Pictures announced that they had finally given the green light to the sequel following 3 years of talks. According to Deadline, Latino Review, Thornton will reprise his role as the despicable criminal Willie Stokes, who pretends to be Santa Claus at various malls in order to gain access to stores on Christmas Eve and steal as much as he can. There's no word from the studio on who may helm the project, but the COO, Danny Hammond, said in a statement that he was very excited to finally bring the sequel to the big screen. We'll start principal photography in January, with the studio's aiming for a holiday release of, I'm assuming, next year.
Mm-hmm.
Not
Makes
this
sense.
Year, but yeah. Yeah, I'm I enjoyed the first one. I'm kind of curious, what else they're going to do with this. They're going to do the same thing?
It'll be interesting to see how much of the extended cast shows up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to the next story, one of our astute listeners, it gives you bro knuckles, Jason, for singing Spider Goat. As at the same time that our listener was singing Spider Goat. So
nice.
There you go.
I will proudly give knuckles and back to the internet.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of goats who are animals,
mm-hmm.
if you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving, foster, and forever homes for pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Okay, so next up, we have something that's near and dear to my heart, and, I guess somebody, kind of, and that is Ridley Scott. Not only did we recently see a movie of his,
mm-hmm.
but there's been a movie that came out a few years back now, a little one called Prometheus.
Right. That, I think I heard of it.
That, of course, had some mixed reactions.
Yeah, but, mixed reviews.
But it did set it up for a big line of new movies.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've been trying to keep track of it here on Robots Attack. And, of course, the new movie, as far as we knew, was going to be called Alien Paradise Lost. Well, that has changed already.
Oh, wow. What?
Yeah. Yeah. They have officially changed the name, and it might change again next week. But for now, they have officially changed the name to, let's see.
The Alien?
Alien Covenant.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Okay. So the explanation for this I thought was actually pretty good, and I wonder if it's going to follow through to all of the movies that they end up making in this line. And that is that the last movie, it was called Prometheus. You remember what Prometheus was in that movie?
I believe it was the name of the ship.
Perfect. It was the name of the ship that they went and did their little adventure on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what the name of the ship on this adventure is called? Covenant.
Ooh, nice.
So yeah, effectively it's going to end up setting up a series where it's all named after the ship that's carrying the people into these situations. I'm not sure how that's going to work as far as the Noomi Rapace character, since I doubt if that ship that she flew off in was called Covenant. So I
pretty
don't know
sure
if that means that they're changing the storyline to be another set of characters that hunts down whatever she ended up doing next. But the only thing that they have confirmed from the new storyline, apparently, is that Fassbender is going to have a pivotal role and is going to be the main inhabitant of the planet that they end up arriving at.
Hmm.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Fassbender, a whole planet of Fassbenders?
I don't think it's a planet of Fassbenders. I think it's the one, the
only... A planet
only...
with the Fassbender on it.
Right. The Fassbendroid?
Yes.
The Bender?
32 degree angles, 31 degree right. angles. Not related to benders, but relating to AI, because robots and AI go together like hand in glove. Google is trying something new. They are open sourcing their artificial intelligence system, which is being called TensorFlow. And TensorFlow is a very specific AI.
That sounds dangerous.
It's focused.
It will cut you.
Not if you don't give it arms.
Okay.
It's about their neural network based learning computer intelligence system. And for those who are not familiar with the phrase neural network, it's almost exactly what it sounds like. But what it is that the computer program which
how many
simulates
neurons were killed?
None that I know of, unless. You added anyway
message.
It's a system of programs designed to react as if it was a human brain.
Okay.
Or a brain. Maybe not human, depending on how much power you can throw at it.
So it's more neural than usual.
Yes. Its design is to respond as a brain would.
Okay.
A natural brain. And the thing that makes it interesting is that, besides the fact that it's...
I was interested already, so this is just
thing
like
that further
on top right here.
Furthers it is that besides being open sourced, by doing so, they're opening up AI research to more than just high level research at, you know, like academic schools,
Yeah, we
non-academic schools.
MIT and all them and or like corporations like Google and Apple which have money to like have just bail the money they can push into the problem. These neural networks can actually now be you can use some of that processing power
on your own computer. Now, the limitation, quote unquote, on the open source version is that you only get one computer per use of the software.
Okay.
So you're not going to create the next Google with this, but you can now contribute back to Google if you want to, and also to AI research in general by working with it, and or you might be able to, like, for a personal, for a project of some other thing that might benefit from a smarter system that runs itself, you can it can actually, like, learn how to do the tasks and or do them better. So it's kind of an interesting give and take about how it will learn.
Cool. Okay. We can help fight back against John Connor is what I'm hearing.
Yeah. We can create when Skynet rises the as a network, there will also be the mini neural net bots that are the Arduinos will shake themselves out of the ground and rise up against their oppressive Skynet overlords.
And I haven't seen the newest Terminator, but I think I probably mean the original vanilla John Connor.
Yeah.
Not dark chocolate John Connor, which makes it sound like he's played by an African American actor, but no, that's not what I meant.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Villainous John Connor.
Well, yes.
Let's hope this AI doesn't get a hold of this. Scientists theorize a laser as hot as the sun.
What?
Scientists at the Lawrence,
that's hot, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory in California recently released a study theorizing a laser hotter than the sun.
What up, Cali?
A solid controlled beam of energy that is hotter than the sun in the hands of a human.
That sounds dangerous. That sounds more dangerous than an AI carrying that thing.
Yeah.
Almost.
Is that hotter than the sun being handled by a dog? Or
I don't know, but it's definitely hotter than Spider-Man 2. Power of the sun in the palm of your hand, now going forward.
Damn. Man. What a reference there.
So
Spider-Man,
right?
Not
now.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
No, Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire.
Okay. And not to be confused with the new Spider-Man out with Marvel's help. Anyway, as the fusion researchers involved discussed in their study in Nature Communications, the theoretical models that they are studying could allow us to replicate the kind of energy that powers suns. Fusion is what happens when hydrogen atoms collide at incredibly high temperatures, meaning millions of degrees Celsius, and create helium. That kind of nuclear reaction could theoretically be self-sustaining and solve a lot of energy issues.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we face is that we haven't been able to heat things to the required temperature to really make it happen in the real world. Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory is home to one of the most complex laser systems in the world. What they are theorizing involves taking advantage of electrostatic shock waves to heat materials up incredibly fast. The electrostatic shock waves are a byproduct of shining a high-powered laser directly at matter. The shock wave causes ions, charged atoms, to speed up without creating heat. Not the solution, right? What the scientists have discovered is that if they have specific types of different matter with a laser and speed up the ions within them, the different ions, because they're different, against one another and causing friction and thus heat.
Mm.
That friction, that heat, baby. If scientists can figure out how to make these theoretical models a reality, a laser with the heat of the inside of the sun could feasibly be a reality. The practical applications of fusion research are many and could feasibly solve a lot of problems. If the movie The Saint is to be believed, throw back to an old movie there with Mr. Val Kilmer himself. Mm-hmm. So there you go. There could be, theoretically, a laser as hot as the inside of the sun.
Mm-hmm. And that might actually help. One of our commenters brought up that, also jumping back to our jetpack story, whether a jetpack made out of two diet soda liters strapped to the back with Mentos, if that would help them fly. They don't weigh very much.
It's true.
It might get them off the ground, but I don't know if flight would be quite the result.
Man, that seems like something to try. If they don't have that in that Kerbal Space Program game, they need to.
That would be good.
Mentos rocket.
Yeah.
Okay. So, my final story of the evening. Okay, I know I'm jumping on the graphene bandwagon pretty heavy here.
Great, you hipster.
I know. I know. I'm growing extra facial hair as we speak and wearing inappropriate shoes for the climate. So yeah, that's my jab at hipsters right there.
Is that what that was?
Right, yes. Anyway, so yeah, graphene, if you haven't heard of the stuff, it's basically the new material that everybody is like jumping all over each other trying to figure out how it's going to revolutionize the world next, because it does so many things. And if you're not familiar with what it is, it's basically a single molecule layer thick of material of graphite, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you'd think that wouldn't be a big deal because it's still graphite and we've had that a while, but it allows a lot of really interesting things, mostly because it has really interesting properties as far as how it deals with heat and so on. And that's specifically what makes this invention so interesting, is its heat properties. So kind of the big thing that's ended up restraining us from having infrared sensors on a lot of stuff is to be able to properly keep it cool to counteract the fact that it's trying to sense heat.
Mm.
So you had to have a whole bunch of expensive equipment in the past in order to do that, and it meant that any sort of cameras that do that sort of thing are getting in the pricey territory. Well, introduce graphene into the mix, and it just kind of does it naturally when you build the sensor onto it.
Yeah. I remember, it wasn't graphene, but I remember hearing a kind of a similar thing where they were...
if it's not graphene, who cares?
It was right. Carbon nanotubes for the other one. That one
always
was
trying to step in on graphene's territory.
Carbon
always
nanotubes
carbon
are so,
nanotubes and
late 90s.
But it was a...
this is the new deal. This is graphene, baby.
But it was a heating element that would be... They could instantly go cool or hot, but with a small electrical current. And I wonder if it's similar in execution to this. When one applies the current to it, it allows it to dissipate or receive heat quickly.
Yeah, graphite versus pure carbon, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean... If you're into carbon, that's fine.
That's your bag.
I like graphite better. I think it's a better color, I think. Mm-hmm. It looks better with my eyes. So,
well, you got me there.
The carbon graphite wars.
So, yeah. This could, if they are able to duplicate it into a full panel, allow it to make... Wow, that was a big noise. Noise.
It'll make that.
Right. It could do that. No, it could allow us to make full like screens built into our laptops that have that ability built into them, as well as just about anything else you can think of, including the very important car windshield, which would be extra helpful for being able to see all of the things that are trying to jump out at you and scare the crud out of you.
Yeah.
But the other speculation that I recently saw in another article that I'll see if I can hunt down is that since this is a miniaturized technology, you can actually build it into contact lenses.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So yeah, apparently the key right now is trying to get it at a resolution where it'll be more than just like predator vision. but still, it's pretty impressive as it stands right now.
Hey, want some candy?
Right, yeah. Of course I do, Predator.
I didn't expect you to actually say yes to that. Yeah. I didn't bring any candy with me.
Oh, guys, these blades.
Yeah,
it's really cool, but I don't know the white we're looking for.
I'll take one of them.
Well, I can't really give you...
I mean, I can give you their sharp end of them, but I can't really give you the blades.
Predator.
I wish I could say it's been a pleasure talking to you, Predator. Yeah,
but it hasn't.
You just make promises that you can't deliver on.
But last question, Predator. Are you carbon or
right. Which one goes with your eyes better?
Yeah, let's see. I don't know. All right. I will wrap us up with this day in history on November 16th.
Joe the Rapper. Upper.
Oh, yeah. In 1864, General Sherman and his troops began their march to the sea during the Civil War.
Oh, that sounds festive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's something, all right.
And in...
I probably shouldn't make a barbecue joke there, right?
No. No.
The look on Caleb's face. He's just turned all white and he's like, Okay, so we jumped in 1907. Oklahoma became the 46th state.
That's okay. Cool. Wow, I didn't realize it took that long.
Yeah, I know. Think about that. 1907. '07.
Learn something new every day.
Yep. That's the idea about this day in history. And then we jump to the 30s. 1933, the United States and the Soviet Union established diplomatic relations.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that ever happened.
Well, then we jump 40
years
later. So
there was a baseline.
Yeah, there is a little base. Okay. President Nixon in 1973 signed the bill authorizing the construction of the transatlantic pipeline. Then we go to 2004.
Okay.
Wow.
President George W. Bush nominated Condoleezza Rice to replace Colin Powell as Secretary of State.
Okay.
And that wraps us up with this day in history on November 16th.
That's right. And Joe the Rapper.
Yeah. Woo, the raps that I just spun there.
Mm-hmm.
I spun
the
them.
The old-timey rapper.
Woo,
the
fat rhymes.
Yep. I was totally scratching my phonograph.
This day in history is no sort of mystery.
Nope. There you go. I'll remember that for next time. So that's going to wrap up our show. But I believe before we go, Caleb has something important he wants to mention. And, of course, all of us here go as well with this, but
all right.
You wanted to say some stuff.
I just wanted to say, Paris, we feel for you. We want the best for you as well, and we hope that you can track down those that have done the things to you, the grievous acts to you, and you will find peace and safety in your lives in the future.
I think, are there like donation things that are going on
I'm sure I can find one to mm-hmm. throw into the notes. We'll do something about that. But
okay, was there something I didn't you wanted to say, Jason? Or
we hope your wounds heal soon.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that we can do to help, we're glad to do.
Alrighty, that'll do it for this week's Robots Attack. Thank you for tuning in. We won't be back next week from 7 to 9 because there's going to be a basketball game here at the campus that they're going to be broadcasting.
And we'll be talking about it?
I suppose we could talk about it off air, but
yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't get Robots Attack.
Yes, you can get your Robots Attack fix at robotsattack.me. That is the ultimate place to find all things Robots Attack because it is our own webpage. We have hosted archives of the show as well as show notes there as well. And you will find also links to our social sites like facebook.com/robotsattackshow and twitter.com/robotsattackme. But the one place to find all of that, get it all in a nice juicy nugget right there, robotsattack.me.
That's right. All right. That's going to do it. On behalf of myself, Caleb, and Jason, we want to thank you for listening. And we will catch you not next week, but the week after, which if the calendar I could see is the 30th, I think.
Yeah, that looks about right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's when we'll be back. Just, you know, stay posted to all those things that Caleb mentioned, and we'll feed you all the details. But, and it's, you know, it's a good chance for you to catch up on the watch party.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tune in because we'll talk about the next three episodes on our next show. But all right, have a wonderful week and weekend, and we'll catch you next time. Take it easy, everybody.
Later.
Veronica. Mistel.